faithful,
and through it all you've been
faithful. I know that every moment of my life is in your hands. You're working all things for my good according to your plan. You're teaching me to listen, Lord, you're teaching me to trust. Your grace is all sufficient, you'll always be enough.
Faithful, that's what you've been to me.
Work together on my way to make me more like Jesus every day. Though trials come and go, he's molding me, I know, and with a calm assurance I can say, God's way. What lies ahead? I know he's in control,
and he's watching o'er my soul.
Amen, amen, amen.
Everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for how you love us. Thank you for the ones that are here, be it the ones that are sick and away from us. Lord, we ask that you will just heal their bodies, Lord, and bring them all back. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for how you work. We thank you that Mrs. Rose back playing the piano. We thank you for how you heal our bodies, and thank you for doctors that can put us back together. Lord, we can't wait to see what you're going to do. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 162. 162. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory, great things he had done. So loved he the Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh rejoice, oh come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus the pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done. Great things he had taught us, great things he had done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen. You may be seated and turn over to 167. 167. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Welcome to church this wonderful September 17th. Tomorrow, the 18th, First Ladies meeting with the of the fall at the church will be at 6 p.m., 6:30 p.m., excuse me. Wednesday, September 20th, Bible preaching and prayer at 7, and we'll also be having Kids Patch the Pirate Club at 7 also. Saturday, the 16th, bus visitation, churchwide operation saturation and soul winning. We'll be at 10 a.m. September 22nd and 23rd, Baptist Men's Recharge at Wheat State Camp in Augusta. The sign-up is in the back table. All men and young men are encouraged to go with us. Sunday, October 1st and October 2nd. Sunday is the roundup, and Monday will be night revival with Brother Matt Miller. October 6th, the 2023 Ladies Retreat at Heritage Baptist Church in Lawrence, Kansas. It's $25 plus the hotel cost. There's also a sign-up sheet in the back for that. And then October 18th, missionary and glory-bound quartet from HBBC and the AM service. October 16th, Senior Saints will be at the church at noon. And October is Missions Month, so please remember our missionaries, and we will be having a few in October. And please remember the folks on the back, the people to pray for. And thank you very much. Pastor, it's all yours.
All right, where's my sound man left? Hello? All right, my sound man's gone. All right. Well, it's good to be here, amen? And God's always good, amen? Yeah, always, always, always. And it's amazing how God puts everything together. Need to pray for Sister Moyer. Brother Moyer called me, I think, Saturday morning and said that Sister Moyer had taken another fall and just was not doing good and everything, and said I probably won't be there Sunday. So pray for both of them in a special way. And she was pretty much out of it yesterday. So please remember Sister Moyer in your prayers. It's good to have the Burrises. Amen? Amen. Good to see them. We don't want them to have heart attacks or anything today, okay? Brother Burris got that taken care of. And last time he was in services, they think he was actually having a heart attack, but he's good, well, except for the looks, okay? I mean, they can't do much about that, but he's looking good and feeling good. And Miss Wanda's here, so good to have them. And then Darrell's doing pretty good. Pray for Peyton. You heard any more? Who sent the drones? The enemy? Enemy, okay. Peyton's over in the Middle East, and I guess the enemy sent 5 drones, and our military was able to shoot 4 of them down, but one of them exploded and injured one, killed one or something. So pray for Peyton. Our military's in harm's way, folks, and I'm so glad. I support our military. I support our police officers. Are all of them good? No? But you find good and bad in everything, folks. I don't care where you go, in churches and restaurants and Walmart, find good and bad in everything. And so, please pray for them. And so Brother Moyer said he wasn't going to be there. So I said, well, I'll just go ahead and get a lesson ready. And it's amazing how you start doing it by faith. And then I didn't talk to Brother Adam at all. And the first song he sang was "To God Be the Glory." And that just reaffirms in my heart, hey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You got me on? All right. Turn this one off, turn this one on. All right. To God be the glory. I get back here, page 162. Okay. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Amen. So loved he the world that he gave us a son who yieldeth his life, atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Amen. I love the songbook. And if we would just read what we're singing, and I know I've been saved a long time, been in church a long time, I just sing the songs. Man, if you read it, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Come to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Is there any other way to get to the Father? No. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's why our songs are not Bible, but they're biblical. All right, most of them are biblical. Some of them have problems in them and different, but I love that. But my lesson this morning is from the book of Psalms, when to get help from God. And it goes right along with "To God be the glory." So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 107 this morning. And the Bible says three times, four times. Verse number one, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Amen. If that's all you heard today, man, you can go home and say, man, the Lord's good. I mean, you talk to people. I talked to a lady yesterday, and she's a school bus driver, and I said, "Do you go to church?" "No." "Well, do you believe in God?" "Well, my husband's an atheist and I'm an agnostic." And I said, "So you believe there's a God, but you just don't know who He is?" She said, "Yeah. We believe that there's a supreme being or some kind of deity, but you know, I'm not going to pinpoint it down to one person." And I said, "Do you ever read the Bible?" "No, don't take no stock in that." How sad. You know, because my Bible says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy endureth forever." Amen. But look at verse 8. And we sang, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done." Verse 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Amen. And that's in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31, four times, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." And that's what we just sang. "To God be the glory, great things He had done." So God puts it all together, folks. God is so good. God's always there. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can take care of our problems. God is a problem solver. He can do the impossible. Little Estella, the Ferrets came in this morning, and I saw Estella, and I said, "Estella, I got a problem." And she says, "Yes." And I said, "What's 4 plus 4? And she goes, "That's easy, 8. And I'm like, "Okay," because I know she's pretty smart, like her parents, but she's pretty smart in math. And I said, "Well, I got another problem. What's 6 plus 2? She goes, 8. You know, she's like, "Come on, Pastor, that's easy, you know." But to the Lord, our problems are not a problem. They're only a problem to us. And if we would just praise the Lord, "To God, I love, I'm glad I come to a church. Hey, to God be the glory, great things He had done." So I want to look at this morning. And praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before You this morning. And dear Father, I pray that You might meet with us in this place. God, I thank You for each and every one that's been able to make an effort and get up and be in church this morning. God, I pray for those that cannot be in church. I pray for Sister Moyer in a very special way. And Brother Moyer, thank You for them. Pray for Russell Hessen as he continues to recover. Pray for the Burses. Thank You for them being here this morning. And John Fry and others, the Myers, others that need Your special healing, Your touch. But God, meet with us this morning. We want to say thank You for all that You do for us. God, thank You for Your goodness and for all Your works to the children of men. So help us and watch over us. And I pray that You might be with every Sunday school teacher as they open up the Word of God this morning. God, that we might be able to glean and get what You have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Oh, you're already seated. All right. Just seeing if you're awake. All right. You're right. Yeah, I say that so much, you know. But anyway, all right. So sometimes we have God as a last resort. Say, "I'm going to try everything else, and then I'll call upon the Lord." No, we ought to call upon the Lord first thing. First, you know, 9/11. You can't pray in schools, can't pray before a football game, but after 9/11, they opened up the stadiums. Why? So people could come in and pray. Because there was a problem, there was an issue. And I think we need to pray, we need to call upon the Lord. And so there's several problems here in the book of Psalms 107. Who wrote the book of 107? Psalms 107. We don't know, do we? No, my Bible doesn't give one. But I taught Sunday night on Psalms. It's the longest book in the Bible, and it was the Hebrews hymn book, just like this. So when we sang "To God Be the Glory," then they would sing their psalms. They put musical arrangements to the psalms, and they would sing them back to the Lord. There's 150 of them. This is called a book of praises. It was a temple hymn book. It was also the devotional guide for the Jewish people. But there were 10 different psalmists recorded that wrote some of the psalms, all the way from Moses to Asaph, the son of Korah, Solomon, Ethan, Heman, and of course David wrote over half of them. And but like this one this morning, we're not sure. We're not sure who wrote that. But it says, first, it says that there was a problem that the redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if you've been redeemed, if you've been delivered, you ought to be able to say so. You ought to be able to testify. Man, I'm saved. I think I told you guys, I got this ring at, where'd I get it? Silver Dollar City. And it says, you can put on anything you want, but I put blessed, and I got a cross, and I got saved. I'm blessed because I'm saved. And you know, people will say, why do you wear that? Because I'm saved. I'm blessed. And that could be a testimony to others. Hey, you're blessed if you're saved. you've been given something. You've been given eternal life. You've been given salvation. Hey, I'm blessed. I'm blessed by being raised in a Christian family, that I knew the Bible at a young age, and God touched my heart, and I'm saved. I'm forever, eternally saved. Amen. But I am blessed. But it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted in them. They were in bad shape. Found no city. Wandered. Hungry. Thirsty. Verse 6. Then they cried unto the who? The Lord. Amen. The Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Amen. Hey, it's not praying to a piece of wood. It's not praying to an idol. Hey, when I pray to a living God. I serve a risen Savior. He hears my prayers. He not only hears my prayers, but he knows my situation. And he not only hears it and knows it, he's able to do something about it. Amen. Sometimes we're out of pocket. We don't hear people. Then if we do, sometimes there's nothing we can do about it. You know, Leah's called and she said, Dad, the handle on my car broke on the inside, so I can't get out. I'm like, well, I can't do much about it here. You know, can't fix it, but maybe I can send you to somebody. But, you know, sometimes we can't be there. We can't actually help them, but you serve a God that is available, that does know, and that is able to help us in all of our trouble. Praise the Lord. So then they cried unto the Lord. We need to cry unto the Lord in the moment you realize you need deliverance. You're lost. You know, before you get saved, you have to get lost. If you can remember back when you got saved, I could ask each one of you, when you got saved, at the moment you got saved, hopefully it was the moment that you realized, I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. If I were to die today, I'd be on my way to hell. So that's when, hopefully, you got saved. And that's the only, you know, well, you want to go to heaven, then say this little prayer on the back. That's not going to save a person, folks. They got to realize they're lost. They got to realize that they need a Savior. And the Bible tells that. Talked to several people yesterday. One guy, I said, are you 100% sure you die, you go to heaven? And he's Catholic. And he said, he smiled. He said, well, I'm working on it. We're doing the best we can. And I'm like, you're either saved or lost. You either know you're on your way to heaven or you're not. There's not a process. Salvation is not, well, I'm getting saved. No, either you are saved or you're not saved. And so call upon the Lord when you realize you are lost. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And these people wandered about. It says they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted. Then they cried. Sometimes God has to bring us to a place that we have to look up. The only place we can look is look up. Because when you go to hospitals, hospitals is a prime harvest field. In war, in prisons, Rock of Ages prison ministry will tell you, in prisons is a good harvest field too, because they know they've done wrong. Sometimes you go to other people, I'm fine. No, I don't need anything. But you go to these other places and I need something. I'm in trouble. I've done wrong, or I'm physically, I need something. So they wondered about. Then they cried unto the Lord. Then the Lord delivered them. Look at verse 7. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Amen. They don't have to wander anymore. They don't have to be hungry and thirsty. They can be in a city. And God's promised us a promised land. Amen. This is not it. This is not the promised land. You know, I'm bound for the promised land. Well, it's not Canaan, because they still had to fight in Canaan. When I get to heaven, there'll be no fighting. I won't have to fight Satan. He's taken care of. I won't have to fight the flesh. The flesh will not be in heaven, folks. This flesh and blood, this heart that's deceitful, it's not going to heaven. My soul and spirit that saves going to heaven. So he led them, then verse 8, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. So you need to call upon the Lord in the moment that you realize that you are lost. Number 2, you need to cry unto the Lord in the moment that you know that you're bound. You're bound. Look in verse number 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with what? Goodness. That's my God. My God fills him with goodness. Oh no, your God. No, he sends people to hell. He doesn't send people to hell. People reject him as their personal Savior. They make their own choice. But God fills the hungry soul with goodness. But look at verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. How did they get there? How did they get in that situation? Next verse tells you, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Well, preacher, I figure it out myself. I'll make it through. I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to listen. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to read my Bible. I got it all taken care of. I'll make it. Yeah, just go ahead. Just say, I'm going to reject this. I'm going to reject the words of the Most High. I'm going to reject the counsel, the words of God and the counsel of the Most High. I'll make it. Not very long. Not very long. You just go ahead and do opposite of what your owner's manual say, and you're going to have problems. Me and my son, we mow lawns, and I bought a Skag, and it says that you must... At 100 hours, you got to take it in and have the oil changed and everything. And so at about 100 hours, my hour meter started blinking, change oil, change oil. And my son said, Dad, don't you dare mow any other lawn until you get that taken care of. That's what they tell you to do. Get that oil changed, because you're going to blow that engine. Come on, Dad, go. No, and he said, seriously, Dad, I'm not going with you if you take your mower, because you're supposed to get that oil changed. I'm like, 5 hours over 100 is not going to blow my engine. Well, Dad, you got to do it by the manual. Do it. Your thing's bleeping. So I called the Skag place. And I said, yes, you know, the manual says over 100 hours, and I'm at 115, I think. Am I going to blow my engine if I mow another hour? He goes, no. He said, now, if you do it another 75 hours, yes. But if you know, it's okay. And that blinker comes on at 100 hours, and it doesn't know if you put oil in it or not. It'll go off here in a little bit. But I'm telling you, my son, do it by the manual, Dad. Do it by the manual. Because he didn't want me to, you know, ruin my engine. But, you know, we ought to hit ourselves in the head. Do it by the manual. Christians, do it by the manual. No, I don't need this. I'll do my own thing. I'll go my own way. It's okay. I don't need to have my 100-hour oil change. By the way, I did get, I changed my oil, okay, so you don't have, just
Don't look at me like I'm crazy, I'm dumb, all right? I got it changed, all right? So now I'm back on my mower, my son's all satisfied, so we're good, all right? All right, so where was I? But we need to go by the manual. And look what happens when they, it says verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of the Lord and condemned the counsel of the Most High. What's the first word in verse 12? Therefore, because of that, because they rejected and rebelled against the word, he brought them down, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. You think, I'll make it. Then there's consequences for doing wrong. And then, all right, Lord, now, Lord, you just take away all the consequences and I'll be fine. Sometimes you did the wrong, you're going to do the time. Sometimes there's consequences for doing wrong. And sometimes there's weightier consequences for doing, if you go out tanked up with alcohol and run into somebody and kill them, that's a weightier than stealing something or something again, another sin, but there's weightier consequences that sometimes God can't take away. And so, but you need to call upon the Lord when you, and it says, so verse 13, it says, when they were bound, they refused, they were brought low. Verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. God does deliver. Even when we're bound, even when we reject his counsel, even when we reject his word, he's still there. He's still going to help us. Still going to guide us. Still going to help us. Verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Amen. He's there. Then verse 15 again, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. So crying to the Lord when you're lost, when you're bound, and number three, when you're backsliding. Look in verse number 17, or verse 16. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. And if we could get teenagers to, or all people to memorize that verse. Sometimes the problems we have is because of the sin in our hearts. Sometimes it's pride. I think pride is a universal sin, one of the top sins. In fact, if you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to look bad. So here's what I'm going to do. I don't want to go forward. I don't want to admit this. But yet when we do wrong, let's say we don't do something we should because of pride, there's consequences. Consequences. And when we do something else, well, I'll just go along with everybody else. I don't want to be the only one. I don't want to be standalone. It says here, for fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Yes, because of our sins. Sin has consequences. You reap what you sow. You sow bad things, you're going to reap bad things. You do bad things, there are consequences. So, and then verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Backsliding, moving away from God. Hey, I don't I'm being afflicted. And God says, because of your sin. But praise the Lord, at least they have enough sense in verse 19. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Amen. You can still try unto the Lord. In your backsliding, someone chooses a sinful life and they choose to backslide, which enslaves them and bonds them. And then they wake up and realize, hey, I don't have to live this way. I don't have to be this way. Lord, please help me. Please deliver me. And God hears their prayer. Amen. And so it says, verse 19, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their stresses. Verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. You know, when God saves and when God delivers and God forgives, 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all sin. So he just doesn't say, okay, I'm going to just forgive you of that one thing, but you got to remember everything else that you have done wrong. Cleanses me from all sin. In humility, God, please, would you please, Lord, please forgive me? I know I've had bad words and I've had wrong priorities, I've had wrong thoughts, I've had wrong attitudes and wrong spirit. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You know, some people say, well, I don't know if I'm right with God because I don't know if I've asked God to forgive me of everything. Well, if you can't remember it and God doesn't bring it to your mind, how can you ask God to forgive you? But there are things that you do know you're doing that you should forgive. The Bible says, Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That means I know about it. I know I'm doing wrong. I'm not going to do anything about it. Lord, you just leave me alone. I'm okay. He that guard. And so when God, it says he healeth them. I love it. He sent his word and he healeth them and delivered them from their destruction. Then verse 21, what we've been talking about. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. So when you're backsliding, you ought to call upon the Lord. Then the last one here, call upon the Lord when you're in a storm. Any storms ever come in your life? Any problems, situations? The disciples, Jesus was asleep. They were on the Sea of Galilee and a storm was coming down. Storms could come quickly in that area on the Sea of Galilee. And they went and woke up Jesus and he said, we're going to perish. Lord, wake up, man, if there's a storm, we're going to perish. and the Lord went up and said, peace be still, and there was a great calm. And storms are going to come in your life, big storms and little storms. I remember only time my mom listened to KFDI was during a storm. She'd turn on there, and the mobile unit's going here and going there, and she'd get that little radio and head down. Come on, let's go down to the basement. We'd look at Dad, and Dad's not going, and we're like, we're not going. Well, you're just going to get blown away. Oh, come on, you know, be safe. But storms. Look at verse 27. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the deep. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. You ever like that? I think Pam says I'm on my last nerve, you know. I'm losing my ever-living mind. I'm going crazy. That's the way it's been. We have four dogs. We had five puppies. That's nine dogs. Then I got three kids at home, two cats, seven rabbits, eight chickens. That's enough. But these puppies are 7 weeks old. We had four boys, and one little girl. And out of them all, there was this big boy. I mean, he was big, chunky boy. He was kind of like, you know. But the little girl, she's a mess. She could get out of anything. I'm telling you, she got out of the whelping box. We put her in there. We'd be sitting there. Here she comes. So we put her upstairs, and we had this little cage, and then we put chairs all around. Me and Joseph, we turned off the light. And this dog jumped. I mean, this cage is like this. She jumped onto the chair. Jumped down. So me and Joseph said, all right, we have chairs that have the back, so we turned those, and then we had this high chair, and we turned it around where the back's up against, and we like, she won't get out of this. Turned out the light. And we heard a wait. Well, she had hopped up, and there's one that goes like this, and she got up in there. But she couldn't go forward and she couldn't go backwards. So I looked at her and I said, na 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 na. She was in a pickle. Nice me. I got her out of that situation. But I'm like, Lord, would you please help us? We got two left. And if anyone wants to buy one today, we got one. One's going to Nebraska next week, so we have to keep it. And then we had several that inquired yesterday, and I'm like, I prayed this morning coming to church. I'm like, Lord, would you just help us to sell that last one? One would be more than two, more than five, thank you. Would you please? I'm losing my ever-living mind. And I called Sarah on the way to, or I called her for something else, and Sarah said, well, I'm on my way. I just sold a puppy. Amen. I know that just blesses my heart. I'm serious. Pray, Lord, would you just do this little favor for me? When you're in a storm, what do they do? The last words of verse 27, and they are at their wits' end. What do? Some people pick up a bottle. Some people go to their prescription drugs and they don't need it and they say, this will help. Some people get in a relationship. Some people do all kinds of things. I'm at my wit's end. But what do these people do? Verse 28, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. Verse 29, he made the storm a what? Calm. So that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. You know, that's why I think the Lord speaks in a still, small voice. I think you can hear him in the messages. But I think you can hear him a lot when you get your Bible and you're all alone and you start reading your Bible and he starts speaking to you in that still, small voice. He doesn't have to yell at you. He doesn't have to scream at you. He's just talking to you. Talking to you. Then it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then in verse 32, let them, I think that we're delivered. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. That's exactly what we do when we sing. When you sing, to God be the glory, great things he hath done, and you're praising the Lord in the congregation with your voice. And hopefully you're not ashamed of it. Hopefully you bellow it out for, hey, I'm glad. Let God have the glory. Let him have the praise. It's not me. It's not you. Hey, it's not the church building. Hey, it's God. Amen. It's the Lord that does wondrous things for the children of men. Amen. So that's what we are to do. But I want to show you something really quick. It all depends on what we do with what we're given. Say, well, how can I make it? How can I know? How can I have the peace that passes all understanding? Look in verse number 11. Because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Verse number 20. He sent his word. So how does God talk to us? Does he give us any instruction? Did he give us any commandments? Does he give us any suggestions? Of course he does. That's what sets this book apart from every other book on earth. You read a book, and sometimes it's a good person that writes a book, and they've been through a trial, and maybe they have a good family, and they're saying, here's some good things you ought to do, and here's some helpful things you ought to do that would help. Get out of debt. There's a lot of, you know, you do this, but you ought to pick this up. Say, God, what do you want me to do? He sent his word unto them. They refused his word. They refused his counsel. The longest chapter in the Bible is where? Found where? Psalms 119. And what does almost every verse in Psalms 119 talk about? The Bible. The words, the statutes, the principles. They are God's Word. Just a couple things about God's Word, and we'll be done this morning. Obeying, or the Bible, Patrick Henry says, the Bible is worth all other books which have ever been printed. God is not impressed by how much Bible you know. He's impressed with how much Bible you live. So why is this? What should we do with this? Number one, obeying the Bible leads to the blessings of God upon your life. Look at Psalms 119 really quick. And we'll look at a couple of these and be done. Psalms 119, verse 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2. Blessed, happy are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Blessed, happy. Hey, it's all tied to this right here. who walk in the law of the Lord and keep His testimonies and seek Him with the whole heart. How do you seek God? You seek Him through His Word. Right here. I mean, can you go out and can you feel Him? Can you go into a church and, oh, is the Lord here today? No, you can't find Him that way, but you can find Him in the Word of God. God, I need You to find You in this situation. God, I need to find Your counsel. I want to understand it. God, You sent me Your Word, and I want to understand it, and I want to obey it. There's blessings in obeying the words of the Lord. Memorizing the Bible will keep us from sin. Look in Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. Why should you do things and not do things? Because the Bible tells me not to, that I should or shouldn't. There's some gray areas. But there's a lot of principles found in God's Word that God said you ought to just stay away. You shouldn't go up to the door. You shouldn't go on the edge. Just stay away from sin. There's a lot of things that God said, hey, that'll entangle you. Take just one example, wine. Oh, preacher, there's nothing wrong with wine if you do it in moderation and, you don't get drunk. Well, my Bible says, look in Proverbs chapter 20. What does God say about liquor? Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You know, if we just read his Bible, well, preacher, this they say it's okay, and this preacher says okay, and it's okay. You know, this Christian group says, but what does God say? What does God's Word say? It'll help us to stay away from that, and memorizing God's Word keeps us from sin. And so then it says studying God, the Word of God, will help us see some great things in the Bible. Look in verse chapter 119, verse 18. Open thine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This book is amazing. Book is alive. God's Word. Just reading it. A lot of the stories you read, it's amazing. And do you understand it all? No. I don't understand it all. I can't comprehend it all. But you know, God wrote it, and I'm man, so I'm not on the same wavelength or the same mental capacity as God, and I'm glad. I'm glad I have a Bible. I'm glad I have a God that I don't think just like God. He's so much higher than I am. He is Almighty God. So studying us will allow us to see some wondrous thing out of God's law. Then changing the Bible brings severe judgment. Are there any warnings about tampering with God's Word? Look in Psalms 119, 89. It says, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in where? Anybody have it? Heaven. Thy Word is settled in heaven. So why do you need to change it? Why do people have versions and versions? More money. Oh, well, we know more. We're going to change this and take this out and change this word and do this. Just leave it alone. It doesn't need your help. It doesn't need your critiqueness. It doesn't need your revision. Just leave it the way it is. It's perfect. Your King James Bible is perfect. It's the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be preaching to you. If I said, well, this has been revised by the Baptist Bible Fellowship, who cares? Who cares? But my Bible was written to us by God. There's 17 verses completely taken out, gone, removed from the NIV version. Why do you stress, you know, it's things that are different are not the same. Annabeth got in a conversation at work with this young man, and he said, all the versions are the same. And she's like, it's not what my dad says. But if you take out 17 verses in this Bible, and they're in this Bible, are these the same?
No.
Absolutely not. The NIV takes out 63,000 words out of your King James Bible. And that can't be the same. And then the stern warning in Revelation. Look at it real quick and I'll be done. Revelation chapter 20. Let's see, where's it at? Didn't write it down. Chapter 22:19. Thank you. Yes, I knew it was close to the end. It says, and if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy. Is that talking about Revelation or the whole Bible? Depends on which commentary you read, okay? But I'm not going to mess with any of it. Because listen to this. God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. Better be careful. I think I just need to leave it alone. Just read it, study it for what it is. So, all right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. Thank you for this morning. God, we sure love you. Thank you for the book that you've given us. God, help us to call upon you when we realize that we're in a storm, when we're bound, when we're lost. And God, when we're backsliding, help us to learn to turn to your word and to call upon you. Bless our service to follow in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll be dismissed for until 10 minutes. We'll start.